The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
With John Neighbors.
You ever get lucky, Tommy?
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, all in studio with you. Nick has a smile on his face, so he has something to say. Oh, we got to turn his mic on first, I guess.
You got on pants.
That's debatable whether we should turn his mic on or not.
You have on pants.
Yeah, I normally don't wear pants on the show. And, you know, Tommy was getting upset. And he's like, John, you know what? You need to start wearing pants. You know, this is a professional radio station. Mm-hmm. You need to come in here and start wearing pants.
Right.
Instead of walking around pantless.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You and a Speedo, it was really harming the rest of society, number one.
But it's about how I feel comfortable on the air,
Tommy. Really didn't bother us, us being me and Nick. It was the ladies in the
office.
Speak
for yourself.
Yeah, you don't have the view that Nick
does. Well, no, because
there.
I'm sitting over here across the desk. I can't see the other side of the desk, so it really wasn't bothering me because I just see you from the, you know, about mid-chest up, so it doesn't really bother me. Yeah, I didn't think about you, Nick. You're on the other side of the desk there. So.
Well, if the show goes awry, you'll know it's because I had to wear pants today. It just wasn't clicking on all cylinders for me. But either way, it will be a fun-filled show because we're going to be catching up with head coach Chad Morris of the Arkansas Razorbacks around 8 o'clock today, leading into the spring game. And I know that I'm sure that you guys have had him on here the show before I arrived, but this will be his first time on the show since I've been on here. And so I'm interested to see, and there'll be some stuff that we want to talk to him about. Obviously, I mean, we could spend an hour or 2 hours just asking questions and throwing them at him, but we're going to get into the specifics there and trying to find out more about the progress, the transition, the spring game, spring practices, all the positions, try to make it work and all that short period of time. So it'll be fun though. It'll be fun.
I mean, and I don't know if maybe we'll even, I don't even know if we'll get time to get to the question because I don't want to ask, one of my deals is never want to ask questions we know we're not going to get a straight answer to, no matter how many times we, you know, this isn't the O'Reilly factor. This isn't Sean Hannity. This isn't what we do here. So we're not going to keep asking the same question and badgering the person we're interviewing over and over and over and over. But I'd kind of like to get to the meat of the matter of what are you expecting Saturday when it comes to the crowd, to the atmosphere. I don't think we're going to get anything other than a state-sponsored answer, but I'd still kind of like to ask the question and see what he says when it comes to the crowd and to the size of the crowd. Now, I think the weather is going to be good as far as precipitation. You were telling me the temperature's going to be mild but not awful.
No.
You know, kind of football weather.
Could be worse.
It'll be crisp in the 50s, but manageable.
Nice coat will handle that. Yeah.
It's going to be a spring day. It's what it's going to be. It's going to be an Arkansas spring day. So nothing that we as Razorback fans, we as Arkansans can't handle. So, I mean, that doesn't build no excuse in for any of us. So what is the expectation?
Well, I know that he said in his press conference that he will be disappointed if it's not a huge crowd or at least a sellout.
Okay, but I get that. Can we go a little further with that now that we have a little more time together here? What does that mean?
And what do you mean by being disappointed?
Well, no, I mean, what do you mean? I mean, because does that mean if there's 45,000 there, you're going to be disappointed? Because I would be elated.
They could be crazy. I mean, that'd be like a record spring crowd, essentially.
I would think, to me, as someone that sits behind this microphone with you guys each morning, trying to gauge what the pulse of the fan base is, I would be jumping up and down about the excitement because I am concerned right now about the overall excitement level of Razorback football. Got some concerns about that. This would put that bucket of water on that campfire right now. If 45,000 showed up Saturday, and I don't think they will, but I'd have no more concerns about Razorback, about the excitement level with a fan base. So I'm not expecting 40. I'm not expecting any kind of legit. Now, they may tell me there's 42,000 there, but I don't expect there to be any kind of legitimate number around that.
No. No, and I remember we talked about it. I felt like there could be 30,000 just depending on how nice the weather would be.
The problem is the number they'll tell you, the number they'll try to get you to believe, and the number that's actually there.
And that's the problem.
And that's where the debate will begin. But what is his real expectation? And, you know, I don't get too caught up in minutiae there, but, you know, what should that expectation be? Now, that doesn't have anything to do with football, and we need to talk about football, too. With coach.
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of interesting things that people should be interested in going on, and chief amongst them is what's going on at quarterback. So, but when he says he's going to be disappointed if it's not full, does that mean if there's not 53,000 there, you're going to be disappointed? There's 51,000. I don't think that's what he means.
No.
That's just like a little more definition. To me, how many people show up gives me a barometer on where this fan base is with the program.
But how does he know what to expect? Because it's not like he has ties to the state. It's not like he's been around. I mean, and then, too,
but he's got a computer, and he's got the ability
He's
got the ability to go look at how many have shown up legitimately in previous spring games in Fayetteville. Now, the difference is, obviously, this red-white game is in Little Rock.
Right. And that's what people are pitching him. Also, too, he's not looking at an average of years. He's looking at, okay, well, the last two coaches, what have their first years been like? And there's been a lot of excitement around the last two coaches. If you think about when Bobby Petrino came in, there was a ton of excitement around him. When Brett Bielema came in, I think it was a little confusion of, oh, wow, you know, this was from left field, but this still is exciting. So if I was him, I probably would feel the same way. Because you have to remember, over the last couple of months, he's only been surrounded by people that have been telling him how great he is. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of people out there saying, well, coach, you're probably going to win three games this year, and the fan base probably is not going to show. Like, that's not what people in his inner circle or people that he's interacting with. When he's going to these Razorback clubs, you think people are really walking up to him saying, I think you're going to win three games, but I think you're going to be great in the future? The conversations that we're having on this radio show, nobody's telling him that. So the people around him are only telling him how great this is going to be, how excited everybody is. And that very well may be true, but I just don't know why he should feel any other way other than, now, full, I don't think he believes that it's going to be a sold-out crowd, but I think people are telling him how much the Little Rock fans care, and he's heard the great stadium debate and all those other things, so he may be of the mindset that they're going to go to Little Rock and everybody across the state is going to show up.
I'm of the belief if you can't get 30 or 35, if you can't get 40,000 people there. There were not 40,000 people there legitimately for a real game last year, right? Now, I know it was Thursday night and there were some things going on there, but
there
was the number? It was like, I think they gave us a number.
Again, they'll tell you but there was like 45. But
I thought that somebody said it was around, and I could be completely wrong. I thought somebody said it was around 33 or 34.
But I think that's more, but there was not 40. I think we all agree there was not 40 because the thing holds 53. It was not
40 anything.
It was not 40 anything.
Yeah, no.
So if you can't get that there for a real game to open the regular season when you're conditioned to playing a no-name opponent, how in the world are you going to get 40-plus there for a spring game?
But see, I thought the fans...
For a practice.
I thought the fans last year, and John brought this up, the fans last year were disappointed in two people. Normally, you're only mad at the head coach. Even a lot of times, you're like, oh, you know what? Well, you can keep this assistant. Last year, they were mad at Jeff Long, and they were mad at Brett Bielema. So,
In August, they were mad? Early September, they were mad?
I think they were.
By Labor Day, they were mad?
Yeah. At Jeff Long, for sure. Yeah. I felt like they were mad at Jeff Long throughout the entire year.
Right.
I really did. I
can understand the Little Rock fans' beef about the selection of the game down there. So I just find this whole – because this is the unknown that – you know, matters the least to what actually happens on the field down there.
But
to me, I think it will be the most talked about thing about Saturday is the crowd. Because if it's 10,000 people that show up, that's all that anybody will talk about. If it's 45 or 50 legitimate that show up, 45 or 50,000 people, that's all anyone will talk about.
36,000, by the way, showed up for the Little Rock game last year. So that's what the actual attendance. So
that's the box.
Hold on. That's what they said was actual attendance.
That's what the box score.
Oh wow. So maybe about 29.
Yeah. It was not big at all.
Because I remember people saying that there were
embarrassing
that they started comparing the Salt Bowl.
Yeah.
And
like Little Rock Catholic high school games.
Well, yeah. Catholic didn't roll like that, but the Salt Bowl does.
Right, and people were comparing the crowds of that Razorback game and also the Salt Bowl, and people mm-hmm. were coming back saying, "Hey, I don't know if there's going to be more people there than Benton and Bryant."
But the embarrassment of having a crowd like that, and especially last year, I mean, it just kind of kicked off the whole season on a lull. No one really cared about really the rest of the way. And I still believe, and because going back to the point of how mad people were, I think they were mad at a lot of different things, a lot of different situations, a lot of different people. And now that it's all changed, there's still, even though you have a new athletic director and a new head coach, and it seems like so far they've done everything that people, it's kind of re-energizing the program a little bit. Most people are just still of the wait and see mentality. Like, hey, we've been burned on this before. We were all excited about Brett Bielema. We heard about his record. We heard about how great he's going to be. We heard about the recruiting classes. We heard about this, that, and the other.
Defense is going to be better.
And not only did we hear it in year one, but we heard it in year one, year two, year three, year four, and even going into year five, and we're sick of it. Instead of us getting excited and getting our hopes up, we're going to sit back and we'll show up to the games. We'll support you, but don't expect us to get just hyped up and start saying we're going to win 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, and we'll be happy with that. It's a matter of we're going to wait and see until you show us exactly what you're capable of doing. Then we'll get excited because of how badly we got burned by Brett Bielema in the previous administration. I honestly believe that's the case. It just doesn't make any sense of why that's the only reason why people cannot be excited right now.
And this is the third time that you've gotten burned in this sport. Bob Petrino with the motorcycle, that happened. John L. Smith, so now you get burned back-to-back, and then Brett comes in, and really three straight years, Bobby Petrino going down on a motorcycle, John L. Smith coming in, Brett Bielema's first year, burn, then
but you can
Brett
explain
Bielema
John L.,
okay.
That was kind of a, but the problem with Bobby and with Brett is they both kind of got your hopes up, because with Bobby, we saw what happened in the 10 and 11 season, you get there, and with Brett, not quite to the success of 10 and 11, but you start seeing the trend in the right direction. Even though the wins weren't there, you go beat Texas down in the Houston Bowl. You start seeing some success. You think the program's headed back in the right direction, and then, whoop, rug pulled out from under you again.
Yeah, so next year you drop games in the very beginning to Toledo and Texas Tech.
I mean, just...
So it's... Fans are just, they're burnt out.
No, they're fed up.
They're fed up, and I don't blame them. And if they want to do the wait-and-see mentality, mm-hmm. fine by me. I completely understand. But there are some things, though, that you can look at to at least get you excited about the upcoming season in the era of Chad Morris. Yeah. There are some things, but I understand the wait-and-see.
We'll talk to Coach coming up here in less than 2 hours here on the program. Nick, you've got an event coming up in your hometown over in Jonesboro. Where
Hey, Boogie.
You've got a lot of basketball teams coming in. It's a big basketball weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. And I know you want to let our listeners know about what they can enjoy in Jonesboro.
I actually partnered up with the Jonesboro A&P for the NEA Next Level Showcase. You can visit Jonesboro April 13th through the 15th for some exciting girls at basketball. We have teams from Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. They will all be in Jonesboro, Arkansas, April 13th through the 15th. Jonesboro has a great selection of hotels and restaurants, and you can actually go online at hitthatline.com, and the Jonesboro A&P has a link. You can click on that link and see all the restaurants and hotels that Jonesboro has to offer.
All right.
Be looking forward to it. Coming up next, though, we're going to continue talking about spring football and maybe get into the SEC West in specifically about some teams that might be in trouble going forward, even ones with new coaches. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to look at that and more. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Chad Morris joins us right now on the Morning Rush. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Morning, John, Tommy. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, making it work, getting excited for the spring game this weekend and also spring practice, and I know you're excited to get it going as well. So let's just start with the progression of this football team. You took over the Arkansas Razorback program back late last year, and now during spring practice you've been able to see your team, you've been able to look at some guys. Just from the progression side of things, how has it gone from the time you arrived to where you are right now? How pleased are you with the progression?
Well, I think every day is a new day, it's a new journey, and you know, to watch these guys. First of all, as they accepted this change and this new staff in, has been really good. And then, you know, asking them to do some things that maybe they haven't been used to doing, learning different styles of coaching, different ways of training, a lot more running. These guys have bought in. They bought in 100%. And the thing that I've been more intrigued with is just watching, you know, the progression, watching this football team improve, not just since we started spring ball, but since we got here and really got back to work about the mid of January. But, you know, we're still a long way to go. But these guys are hungry. They're thirsty for knowledge, and they're ready. I mean, they really are. They're ready to get back out on that field in August and do a race that 4-8 taste that they have.
What do you want fans to leave Saturday, whether they're watching on TV on the SEC Network or leave War Memorial Stadium? What is it you want them to take away from the product you put on the field? And what is it that they will see from your team that they should notice? What is it that that fans will take away from your scrimmage on Saturday?
Yeah, and you know, John, you guys know that, I mean, we're going to be very limited in what we do, what we show. But the thing I want everybody to take away from is this is different. That's what I want. This is different. And, you know, different in a good way. Different in, and they haven't seen a up pace, fast pace, go, go, go style of offense. While we may not be as much pressure Saturday by design, they'll notice the difference there. And just the energy of the players, everybody flying around and having fun. And that's the biggest thing, you know, people are going to come away with on Saturday.
Speaking with head coach of the Arkansas Razorback football team, Chad Morris, right now in the Morning Rush. Coach, what have the quarterbacks shown you? Because that's what everyone cares about. They want to know who QB1 is, and I know you haven't decided who that's going to be, but the quarterbacks that you have on the roster right now, what have they shown you so far to give you confidence that one of these guys are going to be able to lead this team this upcoming season?
Yeah, you know, of the guys that we have right now that are really working, you know, I thought Ty Story's done a really good job during spring ball, really kind of came out of the blocks on fire and has been very consistent. Very knowledgeable about the offense now. You know, Cole was maybe a little bit more sluggish coming out, but has really picked it up over the last five practices. Been extremely impressed with Cole. It's really seemed like the game is slowing down a little bit more for him, which is needed. You know, we're not running the quarterbacks in spring or not letting them get hit in spring, and that's by design. I wish we could. I wish we had the depth to be able to do that, but we don't. And, you know, Dalton and Austin have done a good job. Austin being a walk-on and Dalton being the redshirt freshman have done a really good job as well. You know, each one brings a different characteristic. Obviously, Cole is got the size, the arm strength. You know, Ty is probably, you know, when you look at Ty, he runs the ball effectively, throws the ball well. But has really picked up the offense extremely well. And then Dalton is just so athletic, very, very, very efficient with his legs. So, again, everybody brings a different trait to it, but I've been really pleased with all these guys. Again, like I said, Cole Kelly has really came on over the last five practices, which has been good to see.
Coach, how has the offensive line progressed? I mean, there's no hiding the fact that it was a problem last year, and you lose a Frank Ragnow. How has the O-line progressed with the change in the offense through these first or through what will be 14 and now the 15th practice on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, Coach Fry does a really good job with these guys, and the scheme that we run creates a lot more realistic run boxes. And, you know, you don't see everybody stacking the box on us. And so that's helped clear it up. You know, I guess listening to the players talk, that's probably been the biggest thing that they have talked about is, just the run boxes that they see now are so much different than what they have been seeing in there. While we're still in some 12 personnel, it's a different way to do it. And it's really cleaned up some things, made some things simpler for them. And that was our deal. We wanted to come in this spring. We wanted to simplify things, and we wanted to play fast. And these guys have done a good job of that. And I've been very pleased with the progression of the offensive line. The one thing that really concerns me right now is just the overall depth there. You know, we only have 10 scholarship O-linemen. Right now, we signed 3, so that'll give us 13. You know, your ideal number is to go into play with 15 on your roster. And, we're not going to have that going in. So, you know, we got to be efficient. We got to cross-train some guys. So maybe you see some guys that are playing tackle, may play guard. You may see some guards playing some center. And Coach Fry's done a really good job of that, of help cross-training these guys.
Coach, just sometimes the stereotype can be with an offense like yours, the fast, 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 that it's difficult to field a good defense. What is it about your style and the way you coach and how you're going to approach the defensive side of the ball that's going to make your defense good enough to where you'll be able to not only win some games but make some stops really late in games when it matters?
Well, you know, that's one of the things people have asked me about. And, you know, it's real quick for me to go back and reference. I mean, you look at our time at Clemson. I mean, we had one of the top offenses in the country and had a top five defense in the country too. So, you know, it can happen. Obviously, you got to be smart. You got to be, as a coach, if you keep getting 3 and outs and you're only burning 45 seconds off the clock, you got to change the tempo of the game a little bit now. And that's something that we do a good job of. So many people get caught up with the word tempo, thinking it's fast, fast, fast all the time. And really, tempo is the ability to change the pace of play in the game. So you'll see us go extremely fast. Then you'll see us slow it down, check the sidelines. Then you'll see us huddle at times and break out of the huddle at a fast pace. So, again, when you talk to defensive coordinators, if you play at one speed the entire game, it's easy for everybody just to lock in on that tempo of the game. But when your ability to change the tempo of a game, that presents problems.
Yeah. You want to go goods on goods Saturdays? Is that what I think that's what you've said? You want to do some of that and let fans see ones on ones, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's gonna be like an amped up, pretty good scrimmage out here is what we're gonna have.
Yeah, I mean, because that's kind of a break from what we've seen in recent times, and I think fans are going to enjoy that. The fact that, you know, you kind of get to see some real football, not ones against the world.
Yep. No, we're gonna go. We're gonna do some good on good. We haven't quite arrived yet to get to that point, so we still got guys battling for positions and playing time, and this is a great opportunity for these guys to get another, just a good day of work in. That's what we're after. We want to get a great day of work in. And we want to walk off that field on Saturday. Actually, we want to run off that field on Saturday, knowing we were better than we were the time we stepped on it earlier that day.
So that'll be different. Obviously, playing in Little Rock's a little different with the construction, everything going on in Fayetteville. What are the expectations when you and the staff and the administration talk? What is there a number y'all talk about? Is there an expectation for crowd? What are you expecting to see when you come out of the tunnel and the team comes on the field? What kind of crowd do you think will be there Saturday?
Well, if it's any indication of the crowds and the passion level that I've seen all over our state, going to these Razorback events and meeting our great fan base across our great state, I'm excited to get our first glimpse of the passion level of Razorback football on a Saturday afternoon. And you know, I tell you what, we're gonna have a lot of recruits there, and we can't talk to the recruits. We can't have any interaction with them because it's not on our campus. And so what I've shared with these recruits is, man, just look at our fan base. Watch how we're going to fill that stadium up, and watch the excitement level that they're going to have out there. And that'll be every bit as good as sitting down and talking to me after the game.
Coach, when you came to the program, obviously you wanted to instill different types of offenses and conditioning and all of that. But as far as the mentality, to be able to take over a program that it was down in the dumps a little bit and had some losing seasons and whatnot, how do you feel like the team has handled the energy and the rejuvenation of going from being a program that was kind of in the pile of the dump right there to getting back to a winning mentality that, hey, they have confidence not only in themselves but in the team and in the staff around them?
Well, I think that, you know, when you talk to these players, and I have, I've talked to the majority of every one of them, and you know, the thing that you find is that they understand what it was like last year. They understand that 4-8's not the standard. 4-8's not acceptable. And they have a sense of pride, and they don't ever want to let a fan base down again. They don't ever want to let themselves down or their families down. And so they've had to hear that. And so with that comes just a thirst for knowledge, just an excitement of change, an excitement of something new, excitement of something different. And the biggest thing that we've talked about in this program is the accountability. You're going to be held accountable if you're the starting quarterback or if you're the fourth team kicker. You're going to be held to a high standard. It's a big deal to play football at the University of Arkansas, and you're going to uphold to the Razorbacks of the past and the future. And that's one of the things we've talked about so much is that, you know, what you do when you wear that logo right now defines your legacy, because there's been a lot of people wear it before you and a lot of people wear it after you. And so, you know, getting and visiting with these guys and then watching them work, they're ready, they're excited, and you know, that they were close. That they were mm-hmm. close a year ago before I got here. Unfortunately, you had some injuries. You had to play some young guys, and in this league, as you know, you better bring your A game every week. But what we found is that these guys are ready, they're excited, and man, they've welcomed us with open arms.
Couple more before we get you out of here. You mentioned there the former players, and you've made some pretty direct statements about welcoming former players and the former Letterman back to the program. I think that's been much appreciated and a different approach than the previous staff. Why is that so important to you?
Well, it's important that these young men see their heritage of where and who has wore this logo before them, and the blood and the sweat and the tears and then the joys and the ups and downs that have turned this program into where it is today, and to see these former players come back here and embrace the new staff, embrace these current players, has been remarkable. I think we had like 16 of them out here yesterday watching practice in a cold. And so, man, I make a point to go over and shake their hand and welcome them back and just say, this is home. We want you around. It's important for you to be around. And because you helped build it, and that's what's going to carry this thing forward is just the unity of not just our former players, but across our entire great state, of everybody locking arms and saying, man, this is what we're after, and we can't wait to get this thing right.
Coach, before we let you get out of here, it doesn't really have anything to do with football per se, but I'd like to ask you, just since you've arrived in Fayetteville and you've traveled around the state of Arkansas, just being here for a few months, what has been the stuff that you've enjoyed the most? What have been the areas, the things to do? Just overall, what have you thought about the area, and what are some of your favorite things?
Well, the area is absolutely incredible. The reception that me and my family have gotten from across our state has been unbelievable. You know, obviously, hadn't had a chance to get out and do too much because of been football and putting this thing together. But that'll come. That'll come in due time. The biggest thing that's really stood out to me is hearing the stories across our state, going to these Razorback Club events. I sit, and I'm usually the last one out of the building because, you know, I'm either going to take a picture, I'm going to sign an autograph, or I'm going to listen to somebody's story. And one of the things that just really resonates with me is the number of people that grew up, were born. They were born Razorbacks. I mean, if you cut them, hogs run out of them. I mean, they are true, true Razorback fans and have been that way since birth. And to hear their stories and their passion of coming to Razorback games as a kid and enjoying the success and also listening to their hurt and their voice of the downfall of the program at times. Man, that just, what I provide them is hope. And that's the whole thing is that, look, we're not going to let you down. We're going to build this program. We're going to build it right. We're going to be the model program for all across the country to follow. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it one day at a time. And I need you to lock arms with me. And that has been unique because everybody's story matters, because I take that back. I share these stories with our players. And that provides motivation for these young men.
Coach Chad Morse, head coach of the Arkansas Razorback football team. Really appreciate you joining us, Coach. I know you got a lot going on. Good luck this weekend in the spring game, and I'm sure we'll be able to catch up with you later down the road.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
No spin, no agenda, just the most honest sports talk in Arkansas. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back in to the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. I don't think it's too crazy about the energy for football right now. You know, it's not too crazy, but I really do think that the spring game will make it better.
It's different.
Yeah, it's a different feel.
Yeah,
but I think there's just a little wait and see approach that people are ready to kind of bust through.
That's right.
Maybe this game
fine.
Will
totally
help
fine.
Them get there. Hey, we've been telling you how busy this weekend is. You've got the spring game. You got Oakland. You got the Masters on TV that I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to. Next weekend, though, a big event's coming to Jonesboro. The Jonesboro Advertising and Promotions Commission has partnered with Nick Mason and his group AR Hoops to bring you the NEA Next Level Showcase. Visit Jonesboro April 13th through the 15th for some exciting girls basketball. Teams from Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana will all be in Jonesboro the 13th through the 15th of this month. So next weekend, Jonesboro has a great selection of hotels and restaurants. Go to our website and get the link to go there, or go to jonesboro.org and visit hitthatline.com. Like we said, click on the AMP link and visit Jonesboro next weekend for some great basketball April 13th through the 15th.
Going to be joined by Chad Morris around 8 a.m. this morning. Going to talk to him about a lot of different things. And you know, it's almost like where you have a new staff in, not only just a head coach, but you have a new staff and you have these players. I know we were discussing it on this in the previous segment, but another player like Davion Warren. Why can't we see him have some highlights that'll get people excited? Or see Sosa Aguin really cause some problems for a quarterback or be able to stop the run? Or see the defense maybe have an interception. What would that be like? And actually pick off one of the bastards, maybe run it back. I agree with you, Tommy, that it seems like if you just have some highlights, at least some plays that people can look at and be like, ooh, okay, so maybe this is what we can look forward to this year. Even if it's against the second team, it'll at least give people a visual of, hey, this is something that we may be able to see this upcoming football season, and I like it.
If you've been paying attention, though, it's going to be worth your time or your money or however if you get a chance to watch, because I think the best battle of the day is going to be the defensive backs against the receivers. The receivers are fast, they're athletic, they have guys that have experience. I think that's a position that whenever we start in the summer, whenever we start ranking the positions, I think that's going to be a position that's probably towards the top. And then the defensive backs, there has been word coming out of camp that's probably the best overall unit at the University of Arkansas this year. And that is an all-SEC type of unit. So it's going to be really interesting seeing that battle go on, because you have a lot of names whenever you're thinking about the defensive backs. You have a lot of guys that are going to be All-Americans, All-Conference, probably a couple of those guys that are going to play on the next level, and that's probably going to be the matchup that I watch throughout the spring game, just seeing how they're able to handle these receivers. Because and if you look at these receivers on paper, you're talking about speed with Jordan Jones, you're talking about athletic ability, guys that are physical, guys that have had a lot of success. So it's going to be a big day for either the defensive backs or the receivers.
I know, and no one else is probably going to be watching this as closely as I will be, because it's just kind of, everyone wants to see big plays. But I'm honestly curious to see how the offensive line does, just in a matter of, are they getting blown by? Are their feet getting set? Are they slow to get off the snap? You know, just the things that we saw the past few years, because this is the same personnel on the offensive line. You know, that hasn't changed. This is the same players that were here the past few years under Brett Bielema. Are they going to be able to get off the line? Are they going to be able to show some progress in that form to where they look faster, they look a little on point. They're able to get up to the line quickly. Are there going to be a lot of penalties when are false starts or whatever it may be? What are we going to see there?
That old line, that's what I wish we had a half hour with Coach because I think we could spend 10 of
easily
30 minutes on just the old line. So
it's going to be tough on those guys because we've all been told by people who play the sport that those guys were not good. And it wasn't, and people didn't come out and say, well, the scheme is bad, or Brett's trying to do things that are too complicated, or Brett's trying to do this or that. They came out and told us the guys that are on the offensive line that are playing right now are not good. And that's a different fix from TJ Hammonds not getting the football, mm-hmm. or Brandon Martin not getting the football, or Ty Story not being in an offense that he's comfortable in, or Chase Hayden not having the ball in space. Those things are schemes. Those things are ideas that Chad Morris can come. When you say a unit is not good, they're not talented, they should not be playing SEC high major football, there's no two-month fix to that. I mean, there's not a steroid pill in the world that can
two-year recruiting fix.
Right, yeah. And so
2 year.
I'm not gonna be, you know, real bought into that unit. I'm not gonna criticize that unit as much if they get just dominated, because once again, we've been told by people that know the sport and know the game a lot better than we do, a lot better than a lot of our listeners do, that those guys cannot play. So we'll see.
He's done a fairly good job as far as getting recruits on campus, and I know we can have the debate on, until he signs them, it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, you may see a situation where you got to have some of these guys get on campus, and it will be a two-year project for multiple of units. You know, but the offensive line, to me, is just the one that it's like, if you don't have one that's serviceable there, it doesn't matter what your offense does. Yeah. It doesn't matter how good your quarterback or your wide receivers are.
How much film do you think this staff and Chad Morris has watched of last year's games, and how much of that do you think they're using as they move through spring to evaluate who the playmakers are, who the playmakers aren't, you know, what's, you know, how they can kind of mold and develop this thing after watching game film from last year?
Hopefully more than Brett Bielema, because he came in saying, I'm not watching any film on him, and he ended up seeing what happened. I'm sure they've watched a lot just to at least have an idea.
And I say that from the standpoint of offensively, what could you take away from that?
A ton to me. You still, even when you change schemes, It's still the same in the trenches, even when you're changing schemes. Now, you may block somebody for a little longer. You may run block. You may pass block, whatever the case may be. You still, if your assignment is the defensive end and he is bull rushing you and you're getting blown off the line or you're jumping off sides, that has nothing to do with, okay, well, if Chad Morris comes and we change the offense, I'm not going to get bull rushed. No, like, you're weak. You're not strong. Or if you're jumping off sides, you're jumping off sides. And so, or if you are a receiver, a slant is a slant. A go is a go, an out is an out. If you're dropping the ball, once again, Chad Morris calling a slant from shotgun or Brett Bielema calling a slant from under the center, the quarterback's still throwing you the ball and you're dropping it on defense. If you can't tackle, if you can't cover somebody. So now, once again, there are things out there that can help those areas and help those guys. But I think they watched a ton of film just to kind of get an idea, because this isn't basketball. It's different. If a basketball coach comes in, you don't have to watch any film. You can go tip the ball. You can play a couple of scrimmages, and real quick you can determine, okay, this kid can play, this kid can't play. But for football, there's so many guys. These guys got so many good reps, so many bad reps. These guys were getting reps at the beginning of the game whenever it was close, and at the end of the game and blowout. So I bet they've watched a ton of film just to kind of get an idea of what some of these guys are good at, who can make plays in space. And then they took a little bit of that information, they got on the phones, called these guys, high school coaches, called other people around, called probably other coaches that they're friends with in this league or other leagues, talked about the guys, and then they saw what happened in practice. So I think you put all of that stuff in one big pot and you go from there. And I think you're an idiot if you get in here and you don't watch any film and you say, oh, well, I'm not watching any of that film. I'll throw it out. I think you are an idiot if that's what you do.
No. If you have to be able to use any resource that you could possibly have to be able to look at whatever teams are doing and whatever your own team is doing, So if you come in and you have no idea about these new players, I doubt Chad Moore's watching any Razorback football games last year. He was probably a little busy coaching the SMU. So, yeah, I think you got to use every resource that you have available to try to figure out what your team is, what they look like.
And we're not saying...
Well, because there's a difference between practice and playing.
Yes,
the way
absolutely
players,
right.
The level they play at in practice and the level they play at in the game.
And we're not saying decide on the starting quarterback third quarter reps when you're down by 25 of last year. No, that's not what we're saying. But what I am saying is, if you look at this receiver and he drops 50% of the passes, he probably should start off as number three whenever you're starting your practice reps.
Right. We'll talk to Chad Morris coming up in about 15 minutes here on The Morning Rush. Want to invite you to head by Gaston's White River Resort. Do that online first, gastons.com. Wonderful website that you can see a lot of great pictures, a lot of great details on the things we've been telling you about at Gaston's, from their wonderful restaurant that overlooks the White River. You can see the menus and a lot of great pictures and detail about the restaurant, from the menus and the great steaks, the great pasta dishes, the great seafood entrees. And then if you go to their Facebook page, you can see the weekly update on all of the specials. Every week on Friday and Saturday night, or Saturday night, they have the roasted prime rib, which is outstanding there inside the restaurant. And, of course, each and every meal can always come with their famous John Boat salad bar as well. Also get a clear picture of the kind of accommodations they offer, because it's a wide variety there, and you can check that out online as well. So if you're planning that summer retreat, maybe that late spring getaway, or maybe you're looking for that family reunion spot this summer, they've got it at Gaston's White River Resort. Beautiful drive up through the north part of our state, through the Ozark Mountains, depending on which way you're coming, up Highway 65 from Central Arkansas. Gaston's is the perfect spot to get away and enjoy some great trout fishing on the famous White River right here in Arkansas. Gaston's White River Resort, again, online at gastons.com. 870-431-5202 for reservations. Gaston's White River Resort, a first-class time.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.